Would you turn with me, please, in the Word of God this evening to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. Matthew 13, as you're finding your place, I'd like to thank the Reverend Dean, first of all, for his invitation to come and share in this annual harvest weekend with you here in Crossgar. It's a great privilege to be invited and an honour to be here to bring the Word of the Lord this evening. It's lovely to hear those lovely messages in song and to join with God's people here in thanksgiving for his mercies toward us as a people. Matthew 13 and verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. We'll end our reading here at verse 9, and we know that God will bless this, the public reading of his word, to our hearts and to our lives. Let's please unite our hearts together in prayer with the word of God open before us this evening. Let us all pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that harvest season is once again with us, and we stop to give thee thanks that thou hast crowned the year with thy goodness. And we bless thee for every temporal blessing that is ours. But we come to thy word this evening, and we pray that thou wilt teach us the spiritual lessons from this harvest time. That thou wilt open our ears, that thou wouldst give to us understanding, and that thou wouldst grant unto us the help and the divine enablement of God the Holy Spirit. I pray that thou wouldst grant unto me that endowment with power that is from on high, and that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart might find acceptance in thy sight. For I pray this through Christ, our Redeemer's name. Amen. Matthew chapter 13 is quite remarkable for the number of parables which it contains. As we read down these remarkable words, there are no less than 7 different parables in this chapter which are told by the Lord Jesus Christ. They are called kingdom parables because each one of them represents the various relationships that are within the kingdom of God. The parable of the sower, which we have read to you this evening, is recorded in all of the synoptic gospels. I believe it's a parable of universal application. Wherever the gospel is preached, and wherever people assemble to hear it, the sayings of our Lord in this parable are found to be true. There are 4 different kinds of hearers of the word of God. And all 4, I have no doubt, are represented in every congregation. Woven into the very fabric of the parable is the work of the sower. Without the work, without the labour of the sower, there would have been no harvest whatsoever. And oftentimes when this parable is preached upon, the work of the sower is overlooked. And I think that's very unfortunate, because there would be no parable without the work of the sower at the commencement of it. There's an important truth for us to ponder upon here this evening. Unless there is a sowing, there can be no saving of precious souls through the ordinary means of the gospel that God has provided. Irrespective of where you are, are the people whom you meet. The most basic work of gospel ministry commences with the work of the sower. There is no harvest, men and women, without the sowing and without the sower. And so tonight I want to come back with you to the very start of everything in the harvest. The sowing and the sower. I pray that the Lord would encourage us all in this ministry that God has given to us. And like the Master, we would be engaged in the sowing. And we would all be found to be faithful sowers. So let us start where it all begins in the church. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Let's consider firstly then the sower himself. The individuality of this man, it seems to have been swallowed up in his office, in his work and in his labours. We're not told anything about him. We're not told about his ancestry. We're not told about his training. We're not told about his associates. We're not told about the size of the field that he laboured in or the size of the farm that he owned. All we're told about him is that he was a sower, and that's enough. I was very encouraged to read the words of Charles Haddon Spurgeon upon this text. I don't seek to apply them to anybody else's life other than my own, but I share them with you. Spurgeon said, I do like to see a man who is so much a minister that he's nothing else but a minister. It doesn't matter who he is or what he has or what else he can do. If he does this one thing, he has lost his identity in service, though he has gained it over again in another way. He has lost his selfhood and has become once for all a sower and nothing but a sower. D.L. Moody said, the great American evangelist, I would rather say this one thing I do than dabble in 40 things and get nothing done at all. I believe the primary task of the Christian ministry, and I will bring everyone into it tonight who professes the name of the Lord, the primary work of the Christian is to sow the seed. Plain and simple, our great task, brethren and sisters, is not to dabble in 40 different things and get nothing done at the end of the day, but it's just to be a sower. And if that applies to the pulpit, it applies to everyone in the pew this evening. God has called us to be sowers. Let our whole lives be lost in this ministry that God has given to us. I am sure there were other sowers out there doing the work, but there were no comparisons made. There's no reference that this man was in a small field. There's no indication of the quantities that he sowed. There's not even any indication of the ability of the man to do the job that was given to him. He was just a sower. The operation of sowing with the hand, well, it's a very simple process. It just goes beyond description. The Egyptian paintings, they furnish us with many illustrations of how it was conducted and how it was done. The sower had the vessel of seed. He simply went up and down the field. He had it marked out at various intervals, and he took those handfuls and at regular purposes and places, he scattered them across the ground. Now, different men had undoubtedly different sizes of hands. So one man could put his hand into that basket and he could bring out a large handful of seed and he could scatter it. Other men had just a small hand and they could put it into the basket and bring out a different quantity of seed. But they weren't noted for that reason. The sower was made mention of because of the work that he was doing. They were sowing the seed. I'm glad that God has so ordered it within the church that there are believers of different capacities and different abilities. Some men have big hands with big handfuls of seed. Other men have small hands with smaller handfuls of seed. But the important thing is the work that they're doing. The Lord makes no comparisons here. It's the work that's the all-important factor. Let us focus, brethren and sisters, our attention afresh upon the one thing that's really important in the Church of Jesus Christ today. And the one thing that's really important is the ministry of the sowing of the seed. The man depicted by Christ as the sower, first of all, had to be the eater. It has well been said that the gospel is seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Every man who goes out to sow the good seed of the gospel must first of all have been a partaker of it. Before you can share the saving news of salvation, you have to first of all experience it. And I'm glad I can look back to a day in my own life. Well, I was 16 years of age as a teenager when I embraced that message, and when I believed that message, and when I received that message into my own heart and into my own life. And I am where I am tonight because I can look back all those years ago when I was 16 years of age, when I received that message as my own. And I can do the work of sowing because I know the message to be true. Let me say to every dear unsaved soul in the meeting tonight, if you don't know God's salvation and if you don't know God's mercy, you can't tell others effectively about it. The sower who was described by Christ, he had come from the granary. He had had to go and get the seed and then he had to sow it in the field. He would have been a fool, wouldn't he, to have walked up and down the field with an empty basket. There he would have been putting his hand into empty space and scattering nothing right across the ground. And likewise, brethren and sisters, we must be in the Saviour's granary every day in order to get the seed to sow. It's time-consuming work, but there's no other way to do it. There's no shortcut to getting the seed. Get the word of God into your own heart, dear child of God, and then you'll be able to get it out to other people's hearts. But if the word of God is not in your heart, you'll never get it out to anybody else's heart. But if you've got a word from God in the morning, you'll have to share it throughout the rest of the day. Or if God blesses you in the evening with a word from himself, there'll be a compulsion in your life to share it the next day with somebody else. But you've got to be in the granary. The sower of whom Christ spoke, he came from a noble line of sowers. The chief sower is, of course, our blessed Saviour. One day he left the ivory palaces of heaven and he stepped out of eternity and he came into our sin-cursed scene of time. And the Bible teaches us that he became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, and he veiled his glory in sinless humanity. As a seed sown in the ground, though he had to die at approximately 33 years of age, he laid down his life as a ransom at the cross of Calvary for sinners. And all that the Church of Jesus Christ is today is because of the sowing of our blessed Saviour. But he's called others to follow in his footsteps. And he sent out his disciples. And then he sent out his apostles. And then he sent out the church. And he scattered them hither and thither, taking with them the seed that he put into their heart and into their life. Until tonight, all over the world, there are sowers. And they're following in the footsteps of the great sower. And they're scattering seed. And we're just but part tonight of a great sowing that's going on all over God's vineyard. We're only following in the footsteps of those who have gone on before and who have been commissioned as his heralds. And we're doing nothing more and we're doing nothing less than that which we've been commissioned to do by Jesus Christ in the Great Commission. I'm glad that we labour not alone in this work of sowing. Sometimes the labouring can be lonely and isolated. And sometimes the ground over which we have to sow the seed can be hard and difficult. Just a brief glance over the parable will reveal to you that not all of the ground receives the seed in the same manner. But there's someone with us And it's that someone who's with us that makes the seed to come alive. Paul spoke of that experience in 1 Corinthians 3:7-9. He said, neither is he that planteth anything, and we're nothing. Neither is he that watereth, we're nothing. But it's God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labour. For we're labourers together with God. It's God alone, men and women, who gives the increase. And if you get an increase and it's not God given, it'll destroy the work of God completely. There are many churches today and they're boasting about increase. And we have great on the church scene today about the church growth movement. Brethren and sisters, we have growth today in the nominal evangelical church that has been a subtraction rather than an addition to the work of Christ. Let it be said. Let it be said, even as the Lord is pleased to give us the 30-fold increase. Let it be said that the increase was of him. That the adding came from him. He's with us in the work. And as we go about this work of sowing, we're glad that he's promised to be with us in it. Secondly, I want to speak for a moment tonight with you about the seed that was used by the sower. Like the sower, the true servant of God must sow good seed if he wants a good harvest. And the best seed and the only seed that is guaranteed to produce the eternal harvest is the word of God. The parable is this. Luke 8:11 tells us. The seed is the word of God. What has God put in the hand of the sower? It's the word. We're dealing here with just basic concepts that are within the Church of Jesus Christ. And yet, sadly today, much even of the church doesn't even seem to know what those basic concepts are. The seed that God has put into our hand is nothing other than the word of God. Luke 8 verse 11. And the first and foremost work that we are given to do in the church of Christ is just like the work of the sower, is to do the planting. To do the sowing of the seed. To do the scattering of the word of God. Hither and thither. From the pulpit. From the byways. From the sideways. Hither and thither. No matter where we go. Taking the word of God with us. When we sow this seed. Remember I said to you. Matthew 13 contains the parables of the kingdom. If we could just stretch out that thought a little. We can say that then the word that is sown is the word of the king. The authority, brethren and sisters, is in the word because it's the word of the king. And where that word is sown, there is power. Where that word is sown, there is authority because the gospel brings to souls the word of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who am I tonight? A mere sinner saved by the grace of God to tell others what is right or wrong. I don't have that authority in and of myself. Because I do it, I can't say to you, you've got to do it. I don't have that authority. But the Bible says in Romans 3 and verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. It's the law that is our authority. When we warn against sin, it's the authority of the king. We can say to sinners that they're breaking the law of the king. You're not breaking my law. You're not breaking the law of this church or this denomination. You're breaking the law of the king. And that's what makes all the difference. And every subject who is in rebellion against the king will be brought to account one day before the king for the breaking of his law. Who am I to assure sinners that there is pardon for their sins? I am not some sort of priest who can go in and give absolution to people's sins. I am just a simple preacher of the gospel who has been given that great honour of proclaiming the forgiveness of God. And what a message to major upon. Paul spoke of it in Romans 3:26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. This is what we've been given to declare, men and women, the righteousness of God in Christ, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. What a message to major upon, that God is just and he is the justifier of those that believe in his Son. And this is the word of the King. And this is the word that we bring to you tonight. The word of the King of kings and Lord of lords. There's mercy, there's pardon, there's forgiveness through the word that we sow, because it's the word of the King. Under the Old Testament Mosaic law, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19 and verse 19, we read that the mixed seed was prohibited. We read there, ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle engender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. And if we were to parallel that with the New Testament message, we could say the gospel that we preach is not to be mixed, or it's not to be confused with other messages or with other methods. There are some today, and they argue that the gospel has lost its relevance for this modern age that we live in, and therefore new approaches have to be made, new methods have to be imbibed. I was amazed recently up in Kilkeel to be given a leaflet, an invitation along to meetings, a mission run by Connect Mission here in Northern Ireland in the local parish church. To me it said there's a mixed seed. Some of the Connect activities included a barn dancing in the parish hall, pub quizzes in the local clubs that had been opened round the town, even magical illusions in the church, with the leaflet saying that the rector was being sawed in two. So long as they remembered to put him back together again. We live in a day and age, brethren and sisters, where there is a mixed seed being sown. And it's our job as part of the Church of Jesus Christ to make sure that we're not sowing a mixed seed. Because if you sow a mixed seed, you're going to get a mixed harvest. And we will bring in utter confusion into the church, not only in this day, but what are we saying for the generation which is following us? And what sort of a field are we leaving behind that we have sown a mixed seed and we have confused the master's harvest? The seed which we sow is incorruptible. It can't be corrupted. The message of man can be corrupted, but not the seed of the word of God. 1 Peter 1:23 reminds us that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. The gospel is a word and it never grows old. And if you ever grow weary as a Christian with hearing the message of the gospel, there is something terribly wrong with your own Christian experience and with your own spiritual experience. And if as a church were to see eternal fruit, well then we've just got to keep on sowing this eternal seed that God has put into our hand. And no matter where we go, no matter what size the field is, no matter who is looking on at the sides of the field, no matter the vicinity that we're in, we've got the word of the King, the seed of the incorruptible word of God, and we keep on sowing it, and we keep on scattering it, and God works through it, and God brings in his own harvest as a result of it. We live in cold, cynical days, men and women. Cynicism bites into the hearts even of the very best of the people of God. But I just want to re-encourage you again tonight. We've got the seed that the King has given to us. We've got the word that's incorruptible. And irrespective of the coldness, spiritually speaking, of the age that we live in, keep on with the sowing of the seed. And God will bring his own harvest from it. I want to try and summarize thirdly for you the labor of the sower. Well, he had to stir himself. The Bible says he went out to sow. Out from the comfort of his own home. Out from the comfort of his own environment into the field to sow the seed. There was no other way. The work had to be done. And if the work is to be done, as a church again, we've got to bestir ourselves. I talked to a brother at the weekend. And he said something to me that struck a chord in my own heart. He said that some churches are very spiritual. They just believe in praying. And they don't believe in doing any outreach or touching the local community. He nearly had me. It was one of those tongue-in-cheek remarks that only a mourn man can make and get away with. God uses means. God uses means, and the means that God uses today is the sowing of the seed, the word of God. And you and I, we have to bestir ourselves. We have to go out with it into the communities, into the areas, into the neighborhoods that we live in if we're to see a harvest from it. The sower had to be diligent in scattering the seed everywhere. I love that passage in Isaiah 32, verse 20 says, "Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass." This was the scattering, this was the harvesting, this was the ploughing, this was the putting the seed into the ground. It would be very nice, wouldn't it, if we all knew where the best soil was to be found. It would be very nice if we all knew the exact area in which the seed was to be sown, but we're not privileged with such information. Therefore, we're to sow and we're to scatter everywhere this royal seed of the King. As Christians, we sow beside all waters. It's very encouraging to hear you tonight lifting the offering for the Every Home Crusade. I bless God for that ministry, for that work, and for that labour. I remember being down in Mombasa on the coast of Kenya, and there were some petrol station attendants, and they were just sitting around. I had some booklets in my car from the Every Home Crusade, and I went over to give these chaps these little booklets. And you know, I was so humbled and taken aback, because the very booklets that I had to give them out, one of the men was sitting, here's in the coast of the Indian Ocean, he was sitting reading the very booklet that I had to give him. So beside all waters, as our sister sang earlier on this evening, ready for service. No matter what the environment, no matter where you are. The sower has to sow with sincerity. They that sow in tears, the psalmist said, shall reap in joy. It has well been said that 1 ounce of sincerity is worth a stone of talent. Or maybe for all the younger ones, 1 gram of sincerity is worth a kilo of talent. Sow it with sincerity. I think the sincerity is evidenced by our praying. Bathe the seed in prayer before sowing it. This was an old method of quickening the germination process. If you want the seed to germinate quicker, you put it in a damp environment and it had brought it on quicker. Oh, that our sowing, our preaching, our witnessing would be dampened by our tears and by our weeping and by our laying hold of God. The sower had to learn to overcome the difficulties. At all costs, the seed had to go out. And the great enemy of souls, of course, will try and block the sowing of the gospel seed. But those who are doing the work of the King have to be prepared to overcome those difficulties. We have many difficulties here in Northern Ireland. We don't have the opposition that other Christians have. But we have materialism. I was going around homes, and the little tract was to do with John chapter 14 and the mansions which are in heaven. And you know the problem with many of the people that I was visiting was they were too happy with their own mansions down here below. Materialism has eaten the heart out of the spiritual thinking of society at this day and age that we live in. Perhaps God is going to pull the carpet from underneath our feet in order to make us realise again what priorities we really ought to have. I don't think our summary of the sower's labour would be complete if I didn't say we have to sow with patience. Be patient unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. James 5 and 7. I never understood that text fully until I saw it worked out in front of my own eyes. The early rain was the rain that came with the planting. And then in those tropical regions, the rain just goes away. The planting season comes. The farmer knows this is the time to plant. This is the early rain. And then the crop grows, but it can't come to its full head until it gets the latter rain. And the latter rain is that which boosts the crop and brings it to full fruition and ready for the harvest. Let us not in our own Free Presbyterian Church fail to thank God for the early rain. But let's keep looking to God for the latter rain. There's still a harvest, brethren and sisters, to be gleaned and garnered in. And sometimes I believe in our own congregations we're too busy reminiscing. And we're not looking to the present, and we've certainly not got our eye upon the future. There's the latter rain. And we need that latter rain in order to bring in a great harvest. Let us be patient. Every sinner who hears the gospel is not going to receive it the first time. Did you receive it the first time? I would say there's not a soul in this meeting tonight who received the gospel the first time they heard it. Not one. So let us be patient. And let us thank God for the early rain. And let's continue with patience to look to God to give us the latter rain. Closing, let me just say briefly something about the success which we can expect. This success has to come from God. We have to be faithful in our duties. We must use the best seed. We must carefully prepare and sow the ground. We must attend to the ground that we've sown. We must watch over the crop. We can do all of that. There's one thing we can't do. We can't produce life. We cannot produce life. Like the sower, the gospel preacher can scatter the seed, but he can't make it grow. He can offer Christ in the gospel, but he cannot make sinners receive Christ. To create life is God's sovereign prerogative, nobody else's. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. And our success, it has to come from God in order to be success. And oftentimes we're too quick to rush in and to put our own hands upon the project and say, because my hands have been on it, my stamp of success comes from it. Let's draw back. Let us look to God to give the adding and to give to us the promised multiplication. When the sower goes out to sow, God does promise success. When I was over in England with the Youth Council outreach in Bridlington, we covered 4,000 homes for a holiday Bible club with the children. 4,000 homes. How many children came? I asked some that the question when I came home. Some said 4,000, maybe 100 came. Some of them were a wee bit more generous, they said 150.
But this is the East Riding of Yorkshire. This is the spiritual temperature of the great land of England. How many came? Two out of 4,000 homes. We were very downhearted. But this was a verse that encouraged me over there. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. And whether it was just for those two little girls, or whether it was for some other dear folk that we came into contact with, a sovereign God knows all about it. We're just called to sow it, and he'll give us success. No matter how successful the seed sowing may be, let me say this to you, not all who get the word will receive it. There were four different types of ground represented in this parable. And out of the four different types of ground, representing four different types of spiritual hearers, only one type of ground received it. One out of four received it. Of course, from that fourth part of ground, there was even a different type of response, and there's a different percentage success. But only one out of four received it. Let this truth not be lost on us tonight. If the seed of the gospel will not save you, nothing else will. The seed of the gospel will either be a savour of life unto life, or a savour of death unto death. It will either save you or condemn you. One or the other. You'll either receive it or reject it. You'll either be saved by it or judged by it. For all who will receive it, it's like the good ground. It will bring forth fruit. In different lives, different types of fruit will be evidenced, but it will bring forth fruit. And those grounds that didn't receive it properly, it'll be scorched, it'll be choked, it'll wither and die. Tell me in closing, has it been a savour of life unto life in your own heart and in your own experience? Have you embraced the word of salvation as your own, even this evening? If you haven't done so, I pray that you'll do so tonight. This harvest season of 2007, may it be the season of your conversion and the time of your coming to Christ, and the time when God will bless his truth to your heart and life. Christian, God sends us forth as the sower to sow the seed of his word. Take that seed. Don't hide it. Don't be ashamed of it. Be busy like the sower and scattering it far and wide, and one day with God's blessing it will produce a harvest. Maybe some 30-fold. Maybe some 60-fold. Maybe some 100-fold. But from your labours, God will bring success and honour and glory and praise to his great eternal name. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to our hearts and to our lives this evening, for his great name's sake.